This past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, the priest marked on our forehead the sign of the cross using ashes. And he said, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This imposition of ashes reminded us of our mortality, that we are born, but we will die and face judgment. They also remind us, though, that we are wounded. We are not perfect. We sin, and we also need a Savior. And so with that, on this first Sunday of Lent, we take ourselves back to the very beginning, to the Genesis. Here we find Adam and Eve. God made man in his image. God created them in his image. He set them in this Garden of Eden. They had a graced relationship with God. They lived in harmony with God, each other, themselves, and really all of creation. They lived in paradise. The only thing that God restricted them with was forbidding them to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God did not want them to experience evil and to lose their childlike innocence. And so, with that, the devil came, and the devil tempted. We hear, the devil first filled their minds with doubts. Did God really tell you not to eat of the fruit? And then the devil lied to them and said, "Oh no, you'll be like gods. You'll be able to decide what is good versus evil, right versus wrong." Then the devil aroused the sensations. "Oh, look at the fruit. See how nice it is? Why don't you want to taste it?" And with that, they freely sinned. Here is the first sin, that original sin. Now, they've lost the grace relationship. There's this disharmony in their lives. They've lost paradise. Never forget. The devil always offers everything. But in the end, we will lose everything if we follow him. But we aren't lost. For as St. Paul reminds us in the beautiful passage from Romans, that God promised to send a Savior. Even though sin came into this world through one man and affected all, righteousness would come through Jesus, true God who became true man. St. Paul reminds us that through Jesus there would be this overflow of abundant graces. And so, my brothers and sisters, we look ahead to Easter when we will proclaim in the Exultet, "O happy fault of Adam that gave us such a Redeemer." Therefore, when we think about Ash Wednesday, that's really just a challenge for us to polish, to cleanse a deeper cross that has been made on us. Right before our baptism, the priest made the sign of the cross on our foreheads, and he says, "I claim you for Christ our Savior." With baptism, then, original sin was washed away. Sanctifying grace was infused into our soul. We were recreated as a child of God and really given a dignity greater than anything Adam had. And then we were also incorporated into the body of the church, Christ's very church. So we have this great gift of faith. Yet during this Lenten time, we also have to pause as we're doing this cleansing and preparation and recognize, I'm not perfect. I am wounded. I do need Jesus. After all, we suffer from the same wound just like Adam and Eve. Yes, original sin was washed away, but the woundedness, what we call concupiscence, is still there. You and I struggle with this woundedness, this concupiscence of the flesh, where we're so driven at times by our cravings, our desire of the senses, whether it's food, drink, pleasure, some other sensual desire. You and I do struggle with that concupiscence of the eyes, meaning that we can envision having some great kingdom here and now. And we put all our effort on this kingdom of maybe money, power, material things, or position. You and I do struggle with that concupiscence of pride, that woundedness, where we think, well, I can be God. I'll do my will. I'll decide what's right and wrong. And the devil plays on that with the same doubts, the lies, the arousal, the sensation. The devil plays on that. And we have to recognize this woundedness, deal with who we are, and seek Christ. This is why, on this first Sunday of Lent, since the earliest times of the church, not only have we had that Genesis reading, we've had this gospel passage, the temptation of Christ. Jesus is beginning his public ministry. He's gone into the desert for 40 days to be with his heavenly Father in union with the Holy Spirit to discern his mission. The devil came. Keep in mind, our Lord cannot be driven by the devil. Our Lord will not succumb to the devil. Rather, he undergoes this to give us an important lesson. The temptation is the same for Adam and Eve. The arousal of the senses. You're hungry. Turn the stones into bread. Satisfy your desires. That arousal of the eyes. Look, you can have this kingdom. All you have to do is worship me. The arousal of the pride. Test God. Throw yourself down. Let's see what happens. What's really God going to do to you after all? Same kinds of temptations. And notice, not only is the devil lying and putting the doubts in the mind and arousing the senses, he's even twisting the truths of sacred scripture. Now, Jesus will not succumb to temptation. But think, what if he did? He would have lost his very identity. And doesn't that happen to us when we sin? When we allow ourselves to give into that woundedness and forget that we need the Savior, and we give in to the sinning, we lose our identity. That cross that was marked on our forehead at baptism is blackened over. So my brothers and sisters, this Lent is that time when we go into the desert for 40 days. And we look at our own lives honestly. We look at who we are. Yes, baptized, having received other graces through sacraments, but admitting, I'm wounded, I'm not perfect, I need a Savior. In so doing, we look at that woundedness caused by our senses. We ask ourselves, is there something that really takes control of my life? Is it the drink, the food, some kind of leisure? If so, that's what we abstain from. That's what we give up for Lent. We free ourselves. But it's not just that total abstinence in a sense. It's allowing to say, I can stop and do some other good. For instance, if tonight, like my altar servers were telling me, you're going to be watching these basketball games like Duke, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, whoever's playing whom, that's wonderful. But if you see that your spouse needs some help, you need to pause and say, I can stop this sense gratification and help my spouse. Or if you see that the child is asked to do something, so children, you're asked to do something from your parents' altar servers, and they say, pause, help out, you can pause from that game and help out. That's the mastery of self we're trying to have. Same is true if we look at the woundedness we have because of our eyes, thinking we can have a kingdom. Look at your life honestly and ask yourself, do I have my priorities right? Does God really come first and I give him time for prayer and worship? Does my spouse come next? Do my other loved ones in the family come next? And then everything else? Or has the job, the pursuit of money, or something else taken the priority of my life? Then reorient the priorities. One way to do that is also to be sure we have a grateful heart and a giving heart. Just the other day, For some reason, I guess it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when I woke up, I thought, how wonderful it is that I've been given so much. And I just started thinking about different gifts. So the gift that I had a day of life, but then I thought, well, here I am in a nice warm bed. I have a roof over my head. I have heat, especially with the crazy weather we have right now. And then I get up, and I can put my feet on the floor and move. And then I went to the bathroom, of course, and there's the running water. Turn on the electricity. I don't have to worry about what the bathroom's going to do. The sewer system's taken care of by the county. And I can go to the closet and choose something to wear, although for me it's not a big choice. And then you go downstairs, and there's the refrigerator full of food. And that's just the beginning of the day. Have we ever paused to think how much God has given to us? And then with that grateful heart to give back. Not to build up my kingdom, to build up God's kingdom. To change that vision of life. Control the senses, change the vision of life. But there's one step more. And that is to realize we are wounded in pride. So we have to pause and ask ourselves, do I really know Jesus as well as I should? Take time this Lent to learn more, whether it's reading Scripture, maybe it's investigating a question that you've always had about the faith. Ask yourself, am I able to defend my faith? After all, we know sometimes our church's teachings are attacked. Our church itself is attacked. Am I prepared to resist the devil in a way? By speaking the truth. Humble ourselves. So this is all part of Lent. The key is, if we do this, we're opening ourselves to tremendous graces that are going to embolden on our forehead again that beautiful cross that was given at baptism. Also, we'll realize the presence of our Savior. The Savior who loves us so much. The Savior who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation. The Savior who offers the kingdom, not just of life, grace, here and now, but the kingdom of heaven. Turn to Christ and be victorious. Carry his cross. Be victorious. May God bless you.